From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's mailbag time. Here we go, baby. It's Friday afternoon for us if you're listening on Saturday. Happy weekend, everybody. Hope you're staying dry around the East Coast and hope you're ready for a fun Sunday of football as well. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Pooper Cup.
I don't get it.
Oh, you don't get it? I think you get it.
Oh, I get it. Oh, I get it now. Yeah. All right.
We'll have a new bathroom-themed name for Dan Schneier for hashtag Dan on the Can every week. We got your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and your Apple Podcast questions. First, here's a look at your news and notes. Anthony Richardson is out. Quentin Nelson did practice, though, but Gardner Minshew is going to face the Ravens this week. Jamie, Gardner Minshew is QB what?
21.
Okay.
He'll be better than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, probably. David Montgomery has not been ruled out yet, so come on, rule him out. Bryce Young, in addition to missing week three, could also miss week four, and Jet safety Tony Adams is out for this matchup against the Patriots. And that's really all I have right now, but I think we'll get some notes throughout the show, so everybody stay tuned for that, because this is when practice reports start to come in.
How many running backs like David Montgomery do you think coaches game plan for? Like, you got a game plan for like a Jahmyr Gibbs, right? You got a game plan for a guy that's going to do different things. You game plan for a guy that's going to run straight ahead. what's the gamemanship here? Rule him out. He's not playing.
I agree with Jamie on this. The gamemanship is going completely out of hand with a player like David Montgomery.
Right.
Like if you have Craig Reynolds in there, what is the defensive scheming any differently? No.
Right.
Maybe a little. I don't know. Craig Reynolds. But yeah.
He's going to do the same thing. Like,
rule them out, and let's all start Jahmyr Gibbs and be happy. Sunday morning, check out HQ at 10 a.m. Eastern on the CBS Sports app. You can watch for some fantasy advice there, and you can join us at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern for our live stream where we're answering your questions for an hour and a half.
He's flexing already.
No, I just had a weird pain in my...
my tricep.
I had a weird pain.
Unbelievable. And he's going golfing again.
I knew that. Well, I'm definitely going golf again. Friday, can we focus on the real thing that's going on here? Friday is an off day for me. I have two off days, and I come to the show anyway every week. The focus should be on that, not that I go golfing on my off day.
The focus is on that you have twice as many off days as Jamie and I have, as me and Jamie have.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well said.
All right. Time for Apple Podcast questions here from the one and only standard scoring league. Pick an RB2. Jerome Ford, Zach Moss, or Damian Pierce?
Oh, rough. Jerome Ford for me.
I'm going to go Ford too. I don't like the matchup at all for Pierce. I can't play Pierce this week. And Moss is in a very similar spot, especially with Gardner Minshew. I don't like him either there.
This is from Uncle Stink Stonk. Should I sell high on Puka and trade him for Josh Jacobs?
Yes.
So, wow, I can't believe I'm saying this, and I know it's controversial, but I don't think I would do it.
Ooh.
I saw something this week from Ted Wynn, who's unbelievable if people don't know about him. He's a film guy who covers the Raiders, and he showed, and I'm trying to get the stat now, so I have this somewhere, but I wish I could find it. I'm not going to be able to find this in time, but the stat essentially was the amount of two high safety looks that Josh Jacobs faced last season versus the amount of two high safety looks he's faced this year. And it was appalling how few he's faced this year. Teams are essentially just stacking the box every play with zero respect for Jimmy Garoppolo. If only anyone could have predicted this, aka me, 3 months ago. But there will be no change. No one is going to respect Jimmy Garoppolo this year. That box will be stacked all year long, And I don't see how Josh Jacobs scores that many points. It has to be touchdown base. He's not going to be efficient as a runner, or he has to get a really big role in the passing game moving forward. I don't know if I can count on those things. I don't like Jacobs rest of way, to be completely honest. And I would be looking to sell him before things get worse.
It's interesting.
Well, he does have a role in the passing game, and I don't know. He wouldn't be the first running back.
He does, but I mean like a massive role it's going to have to be, in my mind.
He wouldn't be the first running back on a team with a bad quarterback to face a stacked box, you know, to be successful. I mean, you know, Ramondre Stevenson last year and Derrick Henry every year, you know, I mean.
But Ramondre Stevenson and Derrick Henry are better. So, for example, Ramondre Stevenson had 84 targets in the passing game last year. Are we going to get that? Or 84 catches. Are we going to get that from Josh? Or targets, sorry. Are we going to get that from Josh Jacobs this year?
Jacobs had a lot of catches last year.
We have the sample size that we need to see already in two games. Jacoby Myers, Devontae Adams there, not as big. Jacoby Myers not there, 5 catches. You know, right. So that was what we saw last year when Waller was missing, when Hunter Renfrow was missing. We saw it 2 years ago for sure.
Yeah.
You know, that's typically when he gets his more involvement. That's just, I think, a byproduct of A, who he is, and B, what the offense has been. That's with two different coaches.
Also, though, week one was a win. Week two was a blowout loss. So there's that going for him as well.
How many wins do you predict for the Raiders?
How many wins are they going to get?
I don't predict that many, which is a point in his favor, I think, if you were talking about the passing game role, is what I was saying.
That's a fair point. But this is a week that they could win. I think this is a week that he could actually have some success running. So flip side of that, this might be a good week to sell Josh Jacobs after he does have a big game against the Steelers. But I still, though, if you can get Josh Jacobs for Puka Nacua,
yeah,
that feels like a win because we just don't – we really don't know what's going to happen when Cooper Kupp comes back. You know, is it going to be this? No. Is it going to be close to this? I hope. But the targets are definitely going to go someplace else. They're going to distribute it to another player who's pretty good.
I think this is one of those offers that feels like an obvious win, but actually when we look back at the end of the season, won't be one. That's just my take on
it. That's fine. From Jim Mungie, would you trade Drake London for Nico Collins, 12-team PPR?
That one's a bit more interesting. I think I'd hold London. I was impressed with what I saw from London on tape last week. I watched all that game because I had a big trade in my league where I had to decide between Ridder and Mac Jones. And yes, it was those two, but it is a 2 QB league, 14 teams. So obviously QBs are worth everything. And so I actually thought Ridder looked okay on film, especially when he was targeting Drake London. London was getting open in the intermediate deep area of the field. He's a really good receiver. I would just bank on that talent right there.
I would probably lean toward London too, but this also feels like when we could look back and say, why didn't we take the third year breakout with a guy that might throw the ball a little bit more? I had an interesting trade. It got revoked. So I'll tell you, cause it's in the league that we're all in our dynasty league, the Big Burger Dynasty League. I was offered Mike Evans and a second round pick for Drake London.
You would have done that, you're saying, Jamie, if it didn't get revoked?
So, I was very torn, and I'll tell you the reason why I was hesitant. The trade offer was revoked, was because I have Chris Godwin. And so do I want to, A, sacrifice what Drake London might become for a chance to win now, knowing that two of my starters are going to be Baker Mayfield's wide receivers? So as great as Mike Evans is, and he's going to be better than Drake London this year, there's no doubt about that, did I want to have to start both Bucs receivers and lose out on what Drake London might become long-term? That was my dilemma.
Yeah, I got offered in that same league Mike Evans for Quentin Johnston. I said no, but I said, let's revisit this if I'm a contender later in the year.
Yeah.
You know, it might be.
I guess so.
But, all right, let's go on to our next one here. It's from The Real Big Blue 26. Woo, that's a shots fired at Dan Schneier. Start a running back, a wide receiver, and two flexes. So who's our running back? Is it James Cook, Kyren Williams, or Miles Sanders?
Williams.
I'll go Williams because I like that. I think the matchup makes sense there, but I think James Cook is going to score at some point real soon, and I don't want to be having him on my bench. So let me
let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what the flap happens with the flex.
We need a wide receiver. Puka, Pittman, Nico Collins, Tyler Lockett, Drake London.
Wow. Just one?
Just one.
Holy crap. How good is this guy's team?
And then you get two plexes after
this. This is unreal. It's the best depth I've ever heard in the history of fantasy football. Who did you go with, Jamie?
Puka.
Yeah, I'm also going with Puka for sure.
All right, then we need two flex. We need Pittman, Nico Collins, James Cook, Tyler Lockett, Drake London, Miles Sanders.
Is it PPR?
Yeah.
Full?
Yes. I would have said, of course, yes. If it were half PPR and you said, is it PPR? You think I would have said yes? Come on.
Wake up, Dan.
Every reception gets a point, or just the first three, or what?
I would go Lockett is the easy choice as the other receiver. And then it comes down to, for me, would it be Collins or James Cook? I'm going to go James Cook.
I'm going to go Cook and Lockett as well. You know what? I'm going to go Lockett and Collins since it's full PPR. I like going receivers, full PPR always.
Okay. Next question is from Nikki Poggs. This is an ego boost for Schneier here.
Nikki
says, the mailbag episode on September 16th was one of the best and most entertaining podcasts I've heard. I love the banter between Adam and Dan and Jamie regarding movies and just makes me laugh when they rip on each other. Would honestly listen to them do a movie podcast in the NFL offseason and share hot takes and make fun of one another.
Dan couldn't take part in it.
I've literally had this idea, by the way. And we haven't presented this to anyone who actually matters yet, but I've talked about it with Adam, who said, I kind of like it, but he was a little lukewarm about it. But he was somewhat warm.
Do me a favor. Can you both sit like this with your arms the way Adam was just sitting?
Like this?
Yeah. Well, first off, you guys are like ridiculous, but look how hairy Adam's arms are.
Yeah, they're pretty hairy. Not going to lie.
And I just want, let Dan show off his gun.
Oh, thank you, Jamie.
There we go.
You're not part of the off-season.
So my idea, just to jump in real quick, my idea was an off-season pod when things are slow, and it would be called Worst Take. And it was just, we just bash each other for our absolute worst takes about movies, TV, food, and I think it'd be entertaining.
Episode one, The Wire is boring.
Don't you dare.
Well, that's the whole point of the show. I mean, don't you want that?
That's not the point of the show. Oh, no. Oh, the point of the podcast. I thought you were talking about was the point of The Wire. It's like, oh, my God.
No, that's the whole point of the podcast.
I posted a Wire GIF on Twitter today, and someone was like, oh, yeah, I love Suits. Suits has been so great. I'm so happy. I've been seeing so many Suits, and I was so offended.
By the way, you're still saying GIF. That's weird. Question, would trading my Rashad White for Brian Robinson make sense?
No, I'd rather have Rashad White.
I'm a Brian Robinson believer, so I go Brian Robinson. We broke him down for Beyond the Box Score. Loved his tape from week two.
This one is from DT, blah, 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 a bunch of letters. Dear Melvin, James, Derek, and Joel.
Melvin, James,
Come
Derek,
on, buddy.
And Joel.
Come on, Schneier. This is in your wheelhouse.
Okay. Melvin, James, Derek, and Joel. Is this Wisconsin Badgers?
Yes.
Melvin Gordon. But I don't know why I can't get all
James
these ones.
White.
James White.
James White. Melvin. Okay, hold on. Melvin James. Who's the other ones?
We're not interested in this. PPR is super flex. My league did not draft quarterbacks early, and I got Allen and Burrow in the first round. I then took Richardson. I'm sorry. This question is irrelevant. He said, should I start Richardson over Burrow if he clears concussion protocol? This is from Dinesh 84.
Adam, when you draft and you're like, man, look at these quarterbacks I have.
I know.
Top five guy in Burrow and one of the best high upside plays in Richardson.
Now two are out in week three. They're not out, but we don't know a lot about Burrow. Do you guys think, we didn't go over this in the news notes, but do you guys think that what the Bengals did today has any bearing on who will play quarterback on Monday Night Football? They claim someone from their practice squad.
No, it's certainly insurance, but it's a bad sign. I don't think it's a good sign that they're doing that, but they have to cover themselves. And I don't know what the transaction policy when that has to be announced is.
Yeah.
I just realized I do have that in a super flex league. Those are my two quarterbacks.
Burrow and Richardson?
Yeah, I'm playing CJ Stroud and most likely Gardner Minshew.
Oh, I hope you're playing me.
No.
From Dinesh. Adam is by far the funniest host out there, and the rest of the crew is great. Thank you. That's what point for me.
Shocker that you read this one. Go ahead.
I'm looking to trade Tua in a 1QB league. What would you seek in return for Tua?
I think at this point, you're looking at the Burrow manager first and foremost. You're probably looking at, the Richardson manager if that was a one quarterback decision that person made, or Daniel Jones, or who else? Justin Fields, those type of, managers that are struggling. And really, it's hard to make just a blanket statement about this particular player, but, if you have running back issues, you're looking for somebody that has running back depth. If they have, a plethora of wide receivers, that's the type of move you're looking at. Buy low on a Saquon Barkley and Austin Eckler, any of these banged up running backs, maybe it's Tua and something else, Tua and a Brian Robinson to get Saquon Barkley, something like that. But anything you could do to upgrade your depth running back receiver to, or starting lineup is the type of move you should be making. I don't know if I'm just doing a Tua quarterback swap. I don't know if that makes sense.
No. Right. Okay, from Max Thornberry, grade the trade, 10-team PPR, three receivers. I give DeAndre Swift and Michael Thomas, and I get A.J. Brown. Love it.
A plus.
Yeah, I love that trade as well. A.J. Brown's going to have his spike weeks. By the way, Adam, do you know Thornberry? Do you know what that's from?
No.
Wow, this is another time.
Is, that,
do,
some,
or
is that some stupid town in New Jersey that nobody even knows?
No,
where
no, no. For a guy whose brother was like the host of Slime Time Live and a big Nick guy back in the day, you just have no knowledge of Nickelodeon. Like, this was a Nickelodeon show. Nigel Thornberry, it doesn't ring a bell?
No.
Oh, God. You
You're,
know
what 8 years younger than me? How old are you? 24 or something?
Yeah, I think I'm actually like 11 years younger than you.
No, you're not.
Certainly,
how old are you?
It certainly looks that way.
That was good. How old are you?
Don't worry. I'm not saying my age on
you're
the
not
air.
11 years. I'm 39. You're not
no,
11
I know.
Years.
No, I'm not 11 years younger than
no,
you.
You're like,
I'd say 5 years.
Yeah, he's,
five
he's in the 30s.
Jamie nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. Of course. Even if Jamie got it wrong, you would have said that Jamie nailed it.
He says a lot of right things, and I just say they're right. Like, what do we, Adam, try to beat right more often, and maybe you'll get right. agreed more often.
good advice. This is from C.A. Cheesehead. Dear Summer, Sadie, and Skip. Come on, Dan. Another one you should know.
Summer, Sadie, and Skip. Why would I ever know this one? Summer, Sadie, and Skip. Like, oh, are these... When I hear Summer, this is going to be another... I'm not even going to go down this route again after last week, but when I hear Summer, I immediately... Game of Thrones. So I'm not going to go back down that. I already made the Aegon Targaryen mistake last week. I was bashed for that. My whole weekend on Twitter was just hearing people kill me for that one. So I'm not going to go with the Game of Thrones as the guest. Summer Sadie. It was terrible. Summer Sadie and Skip. Like, why would I know that?
Those are his dog's names.
Whose dog's names?
The guy who's writing.
Oh, yeah. I will know this one. Yeah. Go ahead.
This is kind of a silly question. You know, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to skip this question. There's really no question in there. From Frankie Keys. I love the show. I've been listening for years. I'm drunk, and I want input on my preseason stand of treating tight ends like kickers and DSTs. Grab one late and figure it out. Kelsey, Andrews, Waller, et cetera, were all overpriced. Early round, mid-round tight end rarely work. Take your shots at running back and wide receiver. Zero tight end revolution starts here. Feeling like a genius and need someone to bring me back to earth.
I'm with you. This year, this is what I did. I was Kelsey or bust. And once Kelsey got hurt, I was just bust. And I made one mistake. I needed one share of Darren Waller in my most important league. He was going so cheap because there was hamstring reports. Ended up paying for him in an auction. And now I'm like, I could have used that money elsewhere to get a running back or receiver or a better running back and receiver. Waller's not producing at all. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the problem is you're not going to be able to really predict who's going to have those weeks off the wire. But I don't really think you're losing out on too much because Waller's not producing at a high level really at this point. Andrews had a fine first game back though.
Gamer Eric wants to know in PPR, Nigel Thornberry or Aegon Targaryen? Aegon Targaryen would be a pretty ferocious opponent. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is from...
Don't cross the dragon streams?
Yeah, there you go. From Zoe Boy. I found it egregious that Jamie wasn't on the rankings for the funniest members on the show. He's absolutely hilarious, but he doesn't try to be, and it fits in when applicable. So I'm always waiting for those moments. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice. No, I mean, it's funny, as we did get a lot of support for different people about being the funniest, but I don't see any Dans in that support. This is from...
Dan's my vote.
NFL
from Jamie. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that, actually. But
see, my whole life, Adam, I haven't cared about if people are laughing with or at me, as long as they're laughing around me and having a good time. So, you know what? I took the vote. I liked it. And just because you don't agree with it doesn't mean it's going to change. Jamie's still voting me, no matter what you think.
Okay. Something you'll agree with Jamie on as well. Grade the trade, three receiver PPR. Give up Cup and ETN. Get Jamar Chase.
I'm in.
I mean, it should be an easy yes. The problem is what happens if Burrow gets shut down for weeks?
It's not an easy yes at all. I'm out on this.
You're out on this if Burrow's healthy?
The thing is, this whole if Burrow's healthy thing, it doesn't really work because he's just not healthy. Like, playing and healthy are different.
Well, you're also acquiring a player who's not really healthy.
I know,
that's my
but
point.
I think
like,
ETN,
we know if Cup's going to play this season. Why are we so sure? He's seeing specialists for a hamstring.
I would not. I don't think this is going to be the case, but it wouldn't shock me if ETN were the most valuable player in this deal because I like Burrow's thing is lingering here. I suspect the second half of the season, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be awesome. But, you know, I don't want to give up ETN. And then the Cup, look, Sean McVay said there's a possibility he comes back in week five. I'm not just going to take him at his word. But I'm not doing this. I'm not trading for Chase right now unless it's like these are two pieces. Unless it's something that I really just feel is a slam dunk. I'm not, I mean, I'm just playing conservatively.
You're not wrong in thinking that. But I think the fact that it's another injured player and Chase is not injured. And look, I'm going to probably look silly for saying this. We don't know if Chase completely craters without Burrow there.
No.
There's a very realistic chance that he might, but
no.
Still.
Yeah, just ETN is a big piece here. But all right.
You have to give something to get the second best player drafted.
I get it. I just right now, Chase to me is not the second most valuable player. But all right, this is
ETN
from
a big piece.
Yeah, from Jeffrin. Puka or Kyren Williams in PPR this week?
Puka.
Puka.
From Lucian. Grade the trade in Superflex. Give Puka Nacua and Jerome Ford. Get a first round and second round pick in 2025 and Tajay Spears for Puka and Jerome Ford.
I love it. Really? A.
You love getting Puka and Ford?
No, I like getting the picks for those players.
I mean, it's so far away, though. That's the problem. It's like you're I mean, look, Cup is at the end of his rope. So whether he plays this year at that level, next year, I mean, look, he's already two straight years now he's dealing with significant injuries. Puka might be the guy for Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Forever.
That's the part that worries me. The Jerome Ford to me is just a total throw-in. Yeah. I don't think Jerome Ford has almost any dynasty value long-term. But the concern is Puka this good? Or because the issue for me is like, I agree with you on that, but is Sean McVay really coaching for that much longer? And is Matthew Stafford playing for that much longer?
Well,
and then we get to a point where it's a new system and Puka's not as good a fit and the quarterback plays bad.
Yeah. I wonder though, like McVay had his out. Like, did he really want to come back because of Stafford? Did he want to come back
part of it?
Because, well, or did he want to come back because he wanted to experience the challenge of playing with younger guys and building a team?
Maybe.
And you know, through 2 weeks, he's got to be pretty encouraged with what the younger players have done, you know. I think if they were at full strength, it might have been a tough challenge to beat the 49ers. So, you know, full strength meaning like, you know, great players. Or at least prime, you know what I mean? So I think McVay is gonna stick around, but there's a wild card. It's just giving up picks 2 years from now, you know. I just always hate that looking that far ahead.
I'm nervous in a dynasty league to give away a guy who's had basically the best start to a career ever for a wide receiver. It's right up there.
And yes, but I will say on that note, because this just reminds me, Adam, and I'm curious if you guys remember this, back in the day in dynasty, like 2 or 3 years ago, so that's not even back in the day, but 2 or 3 years ago, Juju Smith-Schuster had like the greatest first year of any receiver ever, most receptions ever in history. And he was at one point viewed by some people as the dynasty wide receiver one because of that stat, because he had like the most receptions ever for a receiver in the first couple years. And now like his dynasty, like he's just a terrible dynasty asset. And it's only like 2 or 3 years later.
Well, he hasn't been in the league 5, 6 years.
I think
now.
It's actually, you're probably going back 4 years at this point. You know?
4 years, probably.
So,
but he was already a bad dynasty asset.
But it's not a bad comp.
No, it's not.
You know, and you are talking about a guy that was a fifth round pick as opposed to Juju, I believe, was a second round pick.
Right.
So there's some potential for a complete flop. We see this a lot more with running backs, you know, the James Robinsons and maybe now Damian Pierce, you know, guys that weren't day one or day two running backs that tend to just pop for 1 year and then they disappear. That being said, though, again, if you tell me Sean McVay is in, I think Puka is going to be really good, no matter who the quarterback is, because they'll figure it out.
So I got to speed this up a little bit, but I don't think the same thing happened with Juju, because Juju didn't do all that much until late in the year when there was like an injury, I think, to Antonio Brown. He had a few great games. He ended up having a good rookie season.
Then it was the second year. It was after the second.
Yes, he had a 1,400-yard second season.
Right.
I was just thinking about him today. He is a really curious case. He had a 900-yard rookie season, which we say is always a good sign. He followed that up as wide receiver 6 or something like that with a 1,400-yard second season. And he was super young, which is, I think, why everybody loved him so much in Dynasty. I don't really know how to explain his career. It's a little surprising that it went downhill. All right, let's go so fast. Let's go to this one from 111000. Start 2, Puka, Olave, Addison, Ridley, and DJ Moore.
Wow. What a team. Yeah. He's only starting two of these guys. Who else is starting in this team?
Puka and Ridley.
Need how many?
Just two. I'm going Puka and Ridley. I'm sitting Olave.
Whoa. I can't sit Olave. I'm sitting Ridley too, but I'm not originally sitting Puka.
Originally, I was going to sit Ridley, but
I should have put my whole budget on Puka. I can't believe how non-aggressive I was with that free agent. I threw some 40% on that didn't hit. Like people got him for like 50 or 60%. Then they're spending 80 or 90% on Jerome Ford. Puka's going to be a much better asset than Jerome Ford.
I'm so happy I got him in our other dynasty league now.
Oh, you did get him.
This one is from Worth Dog. I don't know if I should read this one. What do you think? One more, Dan? Should I read one more?
What do you mean?
I don't know. This one's not like super relevant. Should I read it? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs up.
All right, great. This says Adam equals funny. Adam is the reason the show is funny. JB has decent jokes, but doesn't tell a lot of them. Dave's dad jokes, while terribly endearing, don't actually make me laugh. And Dan and Heath combined have exactly one joke, and it's Adam Azer. Without Adam's quick wit.
That's not entirely wrong, Dan.
Without Adam's quick wit, great timing, and seemingly endless fodder for razzing, the show simply wouldn't be as fun. And then he says, while we may, and then it got cut off, and I actually have no idea what happened after that. Maybe he was joking the whole time, but I don't know. All right, I have one question before we go to break. It's from
one joke, and it's Adam. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's true. Like, he's not wrong about that.
One question here from Dave Richard, who sent me a little IM, and he said, weird or not weird, peeling eggs at the workplace cafeteria sink?
Weird.
Boiled eggs?
I can follow
up. Who did
up.
That? That was you, Adam?
No. Why do you think it's me? I said Dave asked me. He's obviously at work in an office in a different
state.
I thought
this from back in the day when you guys used to work together.
No, I've never peeled eggs in my... Maybe like once or twice in my life I've peeled eggs for my kids.
That is very weird.
I don't think it's weird. I'm fine with it.
And it just it smells. It's just
a little weird.
It's smelly. Yeah.
It's a little smelly. Also, why did you call it an IM? Nothing's been in IM for years, Adam.
A G chat? I don't know.
You either call it a G chat, a DM. Like, there's no IM anymore.
He's not DMing me. It's in the Google email, you know?
It's a G chat. There's no IM anymore. Look, we're not in 2003.
All right. We got to go to break. Not all together. We got to go to break, though. And when we come back, we got the Fantasy Cops joining us on Fantasy Football. Oh, Dave does not know if the eggs were boiled. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Here we go. It's the Fantasy Cops settling your league disputes. Okay, commissioners, listen up. First one here. Oh, my mixer is so far away, I can't even reach. First one here is from William. Dear Fantasy Cops, our commissioner informed us that our waiver system at the beginning of the year will be the same way we have always done waivers for the past two decades. Continual rolling list. He accidentally hit the fab button, though, to create a $100 fab for each player. Week one, nobody used fab for waivers because we've never done this before. Week two, so that just means they put in zero bids for everyone and it ended up being like normal waivers. Week two, however, two players, seeing that there was fab, set fab dollars up and picked up Jerome Ford and Nico Collins. The rest of the league continued to not use fab. The commissioner admitted that he had made a mistake and was too busy at his job to fix it. He now eliminated the fab option moving forward. However, he stirred up a hornet's nest and league players are unhappy. Who should get Jerome Ford and Nico Collins? And how can the commissioner make this right?
I feel like this one's so easy. You just go by the rolling list for week two, whatever it would have been. And those people should get Nico Collins or Ford if, and this isn't a little bit of an honor system thing, but if they say they were going to bid on those players or they were going to process a waiver request for those players, is that not right? Like, what do you guys think about that?
I would say what's happened has happened. Commissioner messed up. You get those two players and we make the adjustment moving forward.
I'm with Dan. I think, first of all, Dan, you have to say that Jamie's wrong. You have to say that out loud.
Yeah, Jamie's wrong.
There you go. I'm with Dan. I think that everyone was under the assumption that waivers were a particular way. I'm sure everyone bid on or put in a claim for Jerome Ford. I don't know about for Nico, but if not everyone, almost everyone put in for Ford. I think it should go on the waiver wire priority list from week two. I agree with Dan. All right, 2-1. This one, the only reason we're reading this one is to humiliate the commissioner. This guy is so guilty that we're just going to play bad cop here. Cool. All right, so the email is from David. This trade was completed after week one. One team gives up Breece Hall, Devontae Smith, and Jonathan Mingo, gets back Jahmyr Gibbs, Gabe Davis, and Tank Bigsby. When I saw it, I said to myself, I'd rather be the team who receives Smith and Hall, but I had no issues with it that being that uneven. Week two happens, and Devontae Smith once again went off. The league manager is taking a vote to see if the trade should be vetoed a week later.
No.
He says the results are split, so he's going to veto the trade even after the games have been played. No. Two teams threaten to quit if the trade stands. I've never seen a trade vetoed after games have been played. What are your thoughts?
This is an absolute nightmare. Nightmare.
Wait. The commissioner is involved in this?
The commissioner is going to overturn the trade. Oh, he's not one of the teams trading. No, he's not.
Okay, I was going to say, because the way you made it sound.
Two teams are crybaby threatening to quit the league.
I don't think he's one of the teams trading. We don't have that information.
Yeah, the two people threatening to leave the league if the trade stands. Bye. See ya.
Yeah. Never come back and never play fantasy football with me ever again.
Like, what are you doing?
That's embarrassing. Those people should be more embarrassed than the commissioner, who should also be embarrassed for considering to veto a trade a week after the trade was made through. This is insane.
What is the next step? You evaluate it in 5 weeks and say, Team A, won this trade.
Actually, it was fair. We're going to do the trade over. We'll give the players back retroactive stats. We'll change the lineups for each week. Like, this is crazy.
This wasn't a vetoable trade to begin with, and it's not now, and don't do it. All right. Schmuck. All right, this is from Robbie in a city in the north of England. What do you got, Dan? Northern England.
In the north of England. Ipswich.
Sure.
Just kidding. I think Ipswich is actually in the countryside and potentially in the south, but my nanny, Colleen, shout out Colleen, was from there. She was great. She is great.
Okay, well, my au pair. I don't know where my au pair was from, Jamie, but
you too.
Old joke there. 16-team dynasty PPR league. The commissioner has a juggernaut team, but just lost Nick Chubb, so he just traded a 2024 first rounder, probably pick 15 or 16 in the draft, to a middling team for Brian Robinson. However, it turns out that he has also made a gentleman's agreement in which the commissioner will send Saquon Barkley to the team losing Brian Robinson at the end of the season in exchange for a second round pick. So essentially the commissioner gets Robinson and gets to keep Barkley until the end of the season before trading him away and only getting a second rounder in return. The commissioner, this is a 16 team league, by the way. The commissioner posted a screenshot of the conversation that he had with his trade partner in which this agreement was made. So he can't back out of it without losing all credibility. Personally, I don't have a problem with it as both trading partners seem happy, but it's caused a bit of an uproar amongst some players in our league who don't think this sort of arrangement should be allowed. Would love to know what the fantasy cops think about this and about gentlemen's agreements in general.
I mean, this is a player to be named later. Like, I don't like it.
It's very trade back-esque and collusion-esque. Like, if you're thinking, what's collusion? This is essentially what collusion is, right? Like, it's not the worst case of collusion we've ever seen, but it's basically still collusion, right?
Yeah.
Is it? I mean,
they're colluding
what
to
if
get,
they
like,
just, what if they just, if they did this trade separately at the end of the season, nobody would bat an eye.
Okay, but what happens if Barkley suffers a season-ending injury? Is that still right. happening for a second-round pick? Like, it's done? Written in stone?
What if it were? What if that were the scenario? They agree to this trade, and it's set in stone no matter what. Barkley for a second-round pick. Would you be okay
it's
with
still
it
then? Just, I mean, it's still deciding on something that you don't have an outcome for. It feels as if, like, I'm doing this no matter what happens. That, to me, feels like you're colluding.
I mean, basically what you're doing is you're agreeing to a trade in the future, and I've never seen that done, and I think I'd have to say no.
Yeah.
Right? I think that should just be a rule. No trades in the future. Those trades have to be made at the time. Yeah. Thank you for your submissions to the Fantasy Cops. We appreciate it.
I have a Fantasy Cops question.
Oh, and I think Zach Brooke does too, as I forgot.
Bonus Cops.
Let Zach go first.
Oh, you ready, Zach Brooke? Little cameo.
Yeah, you guys
here.
Hear me? My connection's not great. So I'm in a league. We've been in the league for about 5 years. And obviously, before you're going to send an actual real trade offer on the app, there's negotiations. And for some reason this year, it's gotten to the point where if somebody feels the trade, even getting into the negotiations, isn't great, they'll screenshot the opening offer to the chat, which just destroys the trade to begin with and destroys any chance of any other trade going on. Do you think, I feel like if the trade is proposed, set in the app, everybody sees it, fair. When you're opening negotiations, I think that's just bad business.
I'm not going to arrest anyone for it. I mean, it's not illegal. It's just a real jerk thing to do. No question. You know, opening negotiations, there's supposed to be a little bit of a chatter here, right? You don't just blast someone to the rest of the league. That's bad form. That's bad form, Zach. Yeah.
If it's egregious, maybe, but if it's a decently fair, I don't see the point.
Yeah, I don't see the point either. It's not productive at all. You're not going to get a lot
of
trades.
You're right, though. Like, it's going to turn this into a league of no trading because once that gets posted, someone has a comment and the other team's like feels, you know, vulnerable. Just, it's no good.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of complaints from the neighbors, but unfortunately nothing we can do about it. Not illegal. Jamie, what do you got?
So this is a question for Dan. So Dan, have you ever been in a league where a commissioner knows of a move that happened.
Okay.
That probably was done by mistake. And it lets wasn't. It go for at least a week.
No.
Without maybe saying something to the person in the league that might have made the mistake.
Oh, no. That's really bad commissioner work. I mean, if anyone did that, I would throw them in jail, throw the book at them, put them behind bars.
Wow.
Let me give you a scenario. So in a league, there was a pretty prominent player in a dynasty league dropped. And the commissioner obviously was aware of this and let it go for several days without reaching out to the person and say, hey, you may have done this by mistake. You know, I don't know if you want to drop this guy. Now, again, you could say, is that the right thing to do? Let the person, you know, suffer on their own. And then let the player go on to waivers, bid on said player.
Trying to
get that player. Missed. But let that player who should not have been dropped get dropped and not say anything to the person that dropped.
Okay. Terrible move.
No, I don't. First of all, no, okay. So what happened was in our 12-team dynasty league where there's like nobody good on the waiver wire. We have 22-man rosters or something like that. Someone dropped Deontay Johnson. And the ironic part is a few days after he dropped, and this isn't ironic, but the few days after he dropped him, he went on IR. So he could have just put him in an IR spot. But he dropped Deontay Johnson. And I saw it. I don't think I'm under any obligation to reach out to the guy and say, hey, why did you drop Deontay Johnson? Yes, I bid on him. I texted Jamie. Everybody bid on him. He went for $97 out of 100. I bid 91 because you just don't get an opportunity like that in a dynasty league, right? So anyway, I asked Jamie, I said, and I didn't want to give it away necessarily. I said, I have a question about one of our leagues. Like, did you notice someone strange got dropped? And, you know, I was kind of speaking vaguely about it. Because, again, I didn't want to just clue everybody in that Deontay Johnson got dropped. And Jamie, maybe I could have reached out to the guy, but I don't think I did anything wrong. By the way, Dan, you're in that league.
I know.
Did you notice that he got dropped?
No, I did not notice it. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I did.
Same thing. He didn't notice it either.
I have some issues with my activity in that. Guys, We can talk. Maybe I need like a therapist or something for this, but I don't understand how you guys, this is the most leagues I've ever been in a season. I don't understand how you guys can remain as active as you are when you have 27. Like I have 27 leagues this year.
Oh my God. I have 13. Insane. I have 11 non-best.
No, you have more than that. You have 13 alone through work. I feel like
they're all of my leagues are basically through work.
Okay. I have a lot of home leagues and different kinds of leagues. Like,
you know, most people go to therapists. They sit on the couch, dance, sits on the toilet.
Yeah, come to me.
But listen, it turned out he did not. It was not an accident. He meant to drop Deontay Johnson.
Why?
Why? He drafted him in like the third or fourth round. Can't do that in Dynasty.
It was almost like a spite drop. But
you're lucky I didn't see this, by the way, because I would have bid 100 on this. Straight up, just full budget on this.
Well, I lost them anyway. So
we're not lucky. You're just dumb.
I
was like, he went on IR because I was chatting with him. You know, on Monday we have this group chat text and. With the Dynasty League that Dan's in and doesn't pay attention to, apparently. And I said, you know, why'd you drop him? And we were all talking about it. And he said, someone said, you could have put him in an IR spot. And the guy's like, it was already filled. I'm like, we have five. And he's like, oh, I thought we had one. So you got to learn the rules. All right, let's read some emails.
By the way, let me help you, Dan. When you search for players, go to roster trends and search for most viewed. Start there.
And most rostered, too.
Nice little tip. Nice tip from Jamie there.
Most rostered helps too, because there's sometimes.
No, I do actually know about that, and I do that for. Dynasty is a league. Typically, Dynasty, I don't follow the free agency that much because, like Adam said, there's typically no good free agents. But I need to be aware of people dropping Deontay Johnson for sure.
Yeah. All right, we need to take another break here, and then we'll fly through the emails and the YouTube questions. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today because Dan has to go golfing.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Not trying to stand in the way of a man and his day off, which I appreciate him being here. I really do.
I have news real quick.
Oh, okay, good. What do we got?
So Jalen Waddle will practice on Friday, but is still in the protocol.
Ooh.
Okay.
He can practice before getting through the protocol?
Yes, that's what typically happens is they can practice, but
limited basis. Cleared.
They'll be listed as limited.
Yeah.
And if he clears the protocol, then he'll be okay.
Sometimes they practice in full. In the protocol. In fact, it happened with Jacoby Myers, I believe, this week.
I believe they still are listed as limited, though.
Okay. All right, from Matt. I suspect I'm one of very few New Zealand listeners to the podcast, but he likes our show. Appreciate it. Two things. I watched Billy Madison again last night, and Adam's Eric impersonation is perfect, and Oil of Olay was a big product here in New Zealand years ago, so I always thought Oil of Olave was an excellent team name. Boy, I'm really egotistical today. I can't believe I keep reading these, but that is the entire email.
Can't believe you keep reading these. What
I don't
do you
usually
mean?
Read these types of things, but I just
You know how egotistical it is, by the way? Do you know how egotistical it is to say, I can't believe I'm reading these? Like that in alone is an egotistical comment. Like, what do you mean you can't believe it? You're the one doing it. You can believe it.
I guess I didn't realize how many of them made the show.
So Dan, Nando, you would love Nando because he always killed Adam.
My favorite.
Oh, I don't want to play the guitar. Wait, it just happens to be sitting right next to me.
Yeah. All right, this is from...
I have to sing? Oh, no.
Hashtag, it's never too early for a seltzer. Yes, for Heath.
That's a little throwback to the Heath episode. I thought you guys were crazy.
Throwback, it was yesterday.
Yesterday's episode. But why can't you enjoy a seltzer at 9 a.m. or whatever it is? Seltzers are great. I don't get
I don't drink
how
seltzer.
Is there like a time? Like there should be no time limit on seltzer. Seltzers should be enjoyed at any point. It's literally like drinking water, but it's better.
It's literally like drinking water, except it is nothing like water because it's entirely carbonated and tastes bitter. It is not water.
Bitter.
I mean, like, if you like seltzer, that's fine. I'm not gonna yuck your yum. But it's not water. It's nothing like water.
Nothing like water. It's literally water carbonated.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing about water, is that water is not carbonated. It's seltzer. They're completely different beverages.
I want some. You know what? We mean it may need to go to Twitter or a poll, or just let us know in the comments. Does it make any sense for Adam to say seltzer is quote unquote nothing like water? You okay. Tell me if that makes any sense.
We got two questions here.
Yeah, we have a question. It's PPR. Is that half? I mean,
select one in full PPR, Flowers or Addison?
Addison.
Yeah. Select one in
I'm
full
go
PPR.
Flowers for full PPR.
Oh, wow. All right. Yep. Damian Pierce or Breece Hall?
Ooh, Pierce.
Gross. Pierce, I guess.
Would you drop Bigsby or Elijah Moore to pick up Gus Edwards?
I would drop Elijah Moore because I don't trust Deshaun Watson.
I think that's fair.
And if there's an injury to Travis Etienne, you're going to be really mad at yourself.
I'm getting crushed right now for my water seltzer take.
It made no sense whatsoever.
But
of course
it's not
you're
like water. Because I love water. It's all I drink is water. And I look forward to having a cup of water. I don't like seltzer, but that's fine. I'm not gonna, like I said, you like seltzer, that's great. But they're nothing alike. Seltzer's bubbly and has a taste.
Maybe nothing alike. Water they're is, both water. One's just carbonated.
Yeah, but it's
have
like
you look forward to having water.
I love a glass.
That was a funny comment, by the way. But like, nothing alike is like Adam at sports and me at sports. That's what nothing alike looks like. Okay.
Wow.
Water and seltzer are not nothing alike.
Oh, Jamie, Ryan saw you on 441 the other day. How about that?
Hi, Ryan. Stay high next time.
Seltzer.
What's 441,
all right.
By the way?
It's a road. Nothing like water. Seltzer is water. Seltzer is not water. Cucumbers aren't pickles. That's true. I mean, they're totally different. Cucumbers and pickles taste very different.
That doesn't make them completely different.
They're completely different. I mean, it's like you don't order, okay, you don't order something with cucumber and they say, oh, we don't have any cucumber. And you say, okay, you know what? Just put pickles in there. They're the same thing. You would never do that. They're completely different foods. Thank you. Great call. I am winning this one. All right. This is for a grade the trade. Give up McCaffrey for Mixon and Lamb.
Give up McCaffrey for Mixon and Lamb?
It's a good one.
No.
Close, huh?
It's close, really, but I went down on depth. You have injuries. I can make some sense of it.
This is from Jason. Raheem Mostert or Kyren Williams in PPR? I think that's for this week.
Kyren.
Williams.
Rest of season.
Williams.
Kyren.
This is from Saul. Hey, Mark, Tom, and Travis.
Like 182.
Yeah, there you go. Would you trade CeeDee Lamb for Jonathan Taylor?
No.
Oh, no. From Joshua, 14-team PPR, two flexes, 6 point per passing touchdown. Would you trade Amon-Ra St. Brown for Jalen Hurts and Puka Nacua? I have Geno Smith and Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I do it too.
Oh, okay.
Especially with Amon-Ra dealing with this toe injury. Who knows what happens there?
Right.
From David Allegria, PPR, which two should I start? Gabe Davis, George Pickens, or DJ Moore?
Ooh, is it strange that I like Pickens the best? I might go Pickens and Davis.
I'm going Davis and Moore.
This is Kevin from a Massachusetts town known for its bar-style pizza.
Oh. Wait, no, not Massachusetts. I can do Connecticut for that, but obviously not Massachusetts. Okay. Connecticut is New Haven. Have you had New Haven pizza, either of you? I think it's the best pizza.
I've heard so many times.
But I think it's the best on the planet.
I also knew that you had no chance of getting a Massachusetts. Like, I knew that you were going to be confident about it and ultimately not know. but I just like that played out exactly the way I thought it would. Anyway, this is from he says, Dear Vizanth, Jabril, Martellus, and Bill.
No idea.
I think, Dan, you legitimately should be able to get this.
Yeah, Jabril Wilson is who come. That's the only Jabril in the history of the world, right?
Jabril Peppers.
Jabril Peppers. That's another Jabril. It's a different spelling of Jabril. And also Martellus Bennett. And who are the other ones?
Vizanth and Bill.
Vizante Shenko. But you just.
Oh, Vizante. You know,
pathetically.
I didn't know who it was. I just remember he said.
And he's supposedly a Giants fan, Adam. Now,
Dan, you'll never understand this reference, but there was an old commercial.
Oh.
And the phrase was, a little dabble, do you? What was the product, Adam?
It was a shaving cream, right? I didn't know the commercial, but I think it was a little dabble.
Brill cream, maybe? Brill cream, a little dabble.
Brill cream, brill cream. That's right, brill cream.
So Adam goes, what was it? It was it an introduction?
Someone wrote in like from a little oh, yeah, dabble, do you?
A little dabble, do you?
And I wrote, so this is from a little dabble, do you? I never heard of that. Anyway, I think these are Giants who became Patriots.
If anybody remembers that one, that's old school.
Vasante Shanko. I remember him.
Vasant.
I like hearing about how.
I got my teammates to Vasant.
I like hearing about how narratives can play into how you possibly feel about a player in a given week. Revenge game or player or coach or a guy playing an away game in his hometown or a squeaky wheel, end of season incentive, or something like that. Let's see. Please keep bringing these storylines up when I'm unsure which player to start. I tend to use narratives like these as a tiebreaker because it's fun to root for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, while everybody else likes using advanced stats, I won 2 Fantasy Analysts of the Year awards just going by these narratives.
Not just going by those narratives.
Well, I mean, you know, it's mostly me that says brings these things up. Like,
yeah, you're really good at that.
My favorite one this week is the Broncos. Haven't been out of Denver in a month and got to go play in this heat in South Florida. I think it's going to be a tough one for them.
Yeah, my only problem with that is that like...
Game? I kind of love Miami. What's the line on that game?
6.5, I think.
That's I think it's under 7.
My only problem with that, Jamie, is that I feel like the Broncos, if that game were played in a neutral site, I wouldn't really have a lot of confidence in them right now offensively.
Well, listen, I don't push these narratives without some level of something behind this.
So, yeah, no, but I love the guy playing in his hometown. There's a lot of good stuff. All right, so this is from KC. Am I starting Kirk Cousins over Josh Allen?
No.
Nah.
Would you drop
Big Cousins week?
Would you drop Brandon Cooks for Ferguson?
Would I drop Brandon Cooks?
Do you need tight end help? Yeah. I like Ferguson.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Cooks to me feels like it's going to be a long time before we get something productive at him.
This is from Roadrunner. Dear John, Allison, Claire, Brian, and Andrew. Not a clue. Should I trade Deshaun Watson and Alvin Kamara for Josh Allen and Damian Pierce?
Yes.
Yes, you're getting the best player in the deal.
I would do that for Josh Allen straight up.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Breakfast Club, I think. John, Allison, Claire, Brian, and Andrew.
I got to say this about that movie because I did watch. It's one of the rare movies I have.
Not good.
It's not that good of a movie. No, like, why is that known as like a good movie?
Dan, here's the thing. If you saw, and this is my guess because I didn't see it until, I don't know, the last 10 years or so. Same. If you saw it when you were a kid or if you grew up in that era like Jamie did, I am sure it was great. But to go back and watch it now, it's not really that good.
What? What is the big deal with this movie?
That's how I feel about Empire Records. Are you an Empire Records guy?
I like Empire Records too. It was good.
Yeah, Empire Records is like the Breakfast Club of the 90s. But if I showed it to someone now, I don't think they'd like it that much.
You can't compare. What?
It's our Breakfast Club. Like for people my age, Empire Records is a cultural movie.
Would Garden State be at the Empire Records / because I like Garden State a lot. The 2000s.
Because that Garden State's so depressing. But yes, I think it is like a cultural, very much of the times kind of like a time capsule sort of movie. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Like to make it clear, I'm not associated with these two when it comes to that Breakfast Club. Please do not lump me in with these two.
I just think there's a lot of movies that
I think
used
in
to
general
love.
You could just make it clear that in general you don't want to be lumped in with these two.
I hope you're looking at the comments right now.
You don't want to be lumped in with
us. No, I'm just saying if you watch Breakfast Club for the first time right now, you'd be surprised. I really don't think many people would like it that much.
I just personally don't see what was so good about it. Like I just was pretty bored, to be honest.
All right, this is from
Agadaga. Come on.
This is from Kevin. I give up Christian Watson and a 2024 fifth round pick. Get Mike Williams, Chuba Hubbard, and a 2024 fourth round pick. And these are not rookie picks. These are keeper picks.
Oh.
So give up Watson and a fifth round pick for Mike Williams, Chuba Hubbard, and a fourth round pick. And this is the Miles Sanders manager trying to get Hubbard.
Mike Williams might be better than Christian Watson to begin with. So, yeah.
I don't want to give up on Watson this fast for in a keeper league. I'm going to bow out of this one.
All right,
I would assume the Williams manager is probably in more win now.
I assume based on when people give these questions that it's like these fourth and fifth round keeper picks are horrible. Like it's one of those leagues where everyone's kept and you don't even have to, like the fourth round of a draft is like the 12th round or 13th round.
Let's see. We got Tua and DJ Moore for Mahomes and Tajay Spears. Would you give up Tua and Moore for Mahomes and Spears?
I would.
Tua and Moore for Mahomes and Spears.
Yeah.
I mean, Spears right now, I got to keep checking the practice reports. Like, what happens if Derrick Henry's out? Like, yeah.
Yeah. I traded Garrett Wilson, Mostert, and Metcalf for Jamar Chase and Mike Williams. This is from James. I traded Wilson, Mostert, and Metcalf for Jamar Chase and Mike Williams. What do you think? He doesn't need Mostert, per se.
I'm sorry, they get Mostert who?
He gives up Mostert, Garrett Wilson, and Metcalf. He gets Jamar Chase and Mike Williams. This one I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm doing it, but obviously we have to hope that Burrow is fine.
This is from Trevor. Dear Fred, John, Tim, and Travis Kelsey. And these are names of the actors in the show Moonbase 8, which apparently Travis Kelsey had a role in. I've never even heard of that.
Never heard of that either.
And he said, it's a show, so maybe Jamie will watch it. But I think he meant it's a show, so maybe Dan will watch it, because Dan watches every show and no movies.
No, I only watch good shows.
12-team non-PPR league. Oh, go ahead and say that to Travis Kelsey, buddy. Three receivers, no flex. I've been offered, I have Justin Fields and I have Jordan Love on the bench. I've been offered Lamar Jackson and DeAndre Hopkins for Jamar Chase. Should I do that?
No.
No.
All right, this is from Chris. Who would you start at wide receiver? You have to pick three. It's standard scoring. Jahan Dotson, Tutu Atwell, Chris Godwin, Puka Nacua.
Godwin and Nacua are easy for me, and then I would probably still go Dotson over Atwell because I want to play both Rams just in case there is a disaster that happens.
Checks out with me.
Hey, this is, I do not agree with this take at all. Dan Schneider, the type of guy to yell at a star.
Yeah, that's not a good take. Like, I would literally never do that.
He would never do that. Like, and you know why?
Total opposite of who I am.
You know why? Because he would say something like, oh, we got so much culture in New Jersey. We got all these great coffee places that you can go to.
That's
you
don't a good have to point. Go. I would always go to a local coffee place over Starbucks. That's another good point.
Yeah, new sponsor. From Raymond. Half PPR, I need two. Breece Hall, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, Josh Kelly, Jerry Judy, and Craig Reynolds. I'll skip Craig Reynolds. So need two of these guys. Breece Hall, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, Josh Kelly, Jerry Judy.
You have to start two of Breece Hall, Josh Kelly, Jerry Judy, and who?
Breece Hall, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, Josh Kelly, Jerry Judy.
I'm going Kelly and Judy.
I would go Kelly and Judy also.
And finally from The Banker. Dear Aaron, Williams, Green, and Azaria.
Hanks,
yeah.
Hanks.
Sit one. Sit. Amonra St.
Before we get further in this, Adam, I feel like this has been my highest percentage of guess rights in the history of the mailbag or any. Like, I'm.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you got Vasant is pretty impressive.
I didn't recognize the name. Sit one. Amonra St. Brown, Calvin Ridley, Keenan Allen, or Puka Nacua?
Wow. I hate to admit it, but that's the one for me.
Ridley, yeah. Ridley's easy to sit in this group.
I guess, yeah.
Easy?
I mean,
in this group.
In this group, it's hard not to.
PPR, man. I don't know.
What a team.
Obviously, he could have 100 yards and two touchdowns. Wouldn't shock me. All right, YouTube, what do you got for us other than Seltzer? Can we agree that I'm right about that? Seltzer and water.
How could you be right? You said seltzer is nothing like water.
It isn't.
It's literally
crazy. I mean,
you could call any. You could call soda.
You could say it's different, and I would have been okay with it. But the nothing like is insane. Taste.
What is like? What's the difference between seltzer and water, and the difference between like Coca-Cola and water? The only difference is syrup. It's the same thing. They're both water based. But they taste nothing like water.
Think that Coca-Cola is just putting syrup in their
carbonation and sugar and all that?
Yes, yeah. There's a lot more going in there.
All right, it's over for you, buddy.
we'll see.
Okay,
the time will tell.
Do you want some updates first?
Yeah, and then we'll get this dynasty trade.
Okay, Bryce Young's officially starting. Bryce Young's officially out. No practice for David Montgomery today. Campbell says Amara St. Brown feels good. We'll play. Logan Thomas has been ruled out. And Kareem Hunt will play according to Kevin Stefanski.
Whoa. That one I didn't expect from the right away. Okay.
Dynasty League. Team A gets Ja'Marr Chase and David Njoku. Team B gets Devontae Smith and Chris Olave. Who wins?
Chase.
Wow.
No, I'm going to go with Smith and Olave.
You know what?
I take it back. I'm looking at this again, and I'm like, damn, that's a good. I usually hate the two side of a two for one, but damn, that's a good two. So I go with the two.
Funny that you agreed with us.
Sit one in PPR in Superflex. Chris Olave, Calvin Ridley, Puka Nacua, Justin Fields.
Wow.
Olave.
Ridley.
I'm going to sit Ridley.
Why Ridley? Why Olave over Ridley? Because Olave's got Jair Alexander potentially. Ridley's got no Stingley, no Jimmy Ward, I think. I mean, they are going to be able to run the ball, you think, probably a lot. But that's why I'm going Ridley over Olave.
I think it's more concentrated with Olave over Ridley. Like Derek Carr, getting back to last year with Devontae Adams, is just slinging it to the number one.
This is one of those where you're just rich, you know, and you're going to probably leave a point or two on the bench if both guys do well. I don't think you're making a horrible decision either way. So for me, I would say Ridley, but I like all these guys. This is what happens. Look, when you are a smart fantasy player and you get Puka when you don't need Puka. So now you have to make some tough calls.
Right.
Yeah.
So start Dotson or Higgins if Burrow is out.
Higgins still.
Yeah.
Because you got to make that call on Sunday.
True. Yeah, because it's a Monday night game. Okay. I'm good with that. Higgins.
Would you trade Barkley for Kamara in PPR?
Ryan Kelly out.
Who's that? Ryan Kelly, center? Yep. No, I would not trade Barkley for Kamara.
The only way I would do that is if Barkley, we find out next week he's not playing Monday, and then that means this high ankle sprain is going to linger, and you may be 0-3, and you got to save yourself. So I would ask for something else with Kamara, but I would be considering.
Senor Football. Adam is 99% on his takes. Agreed. Pick one wide receiver and one, a little, undersold me a little bit there. One wide receiver and a flex. St. Brown, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Rashad White, DeAndre Swift.
The first two receivers.
Yeah, I'm not going to bench Ridley and St. Brown for Kirk, White, or Swift.
Would you trade Jerome Ford and Mike Evans for Josh Jacobs in standard scoring?
Standard, right?
Yes.
You have to almost. I don't feel good about Jacobs rest of the season, though. I just have to reiterate that.
Adam not understanding what water is might be the craziest thing I've seen this year.
Right, Brozy, right? This is insane. Who says that water is nothing like seltzer?
It's two of the most wild takes I've ever heard come out.
It has to be the worst take Adam said, and that's saying a lot. I need to text Heath after this.
It's so true. They're nothing alike.
I might need to call Heath right now and during the show, honestly.
The water seltzer take and Breakfast Club is not good. I mean, how far off the rails have you gone?
I want to tell you a story. It hurts my heart to say it, but in high school, my friend had never seen Spaceballs. So I was like, oh, you have to watch Spaceballs. So we watched Spaceballs, and I was like, this isn't really that good. Kills me, because I love Spaceballs.
I love Spaceballs. Is it not good anymore?
But that's the thing about movies is sometimes they just don't age well. And Breakfast Club is one of those movies that is so 80s. It is so over the top, Breakfast Club. It doesn't work now. That's what movies were like in the 80s. They were ridiculous.
Can I ask you, Jamie, someone who liked Breakfast Club, like, I'm just curious, since I watched it like 2, 3, 4 years ago, whatever. Is it supposed to be a comedy, or like what is it going for? Because I didn't laugh at all.
Comedy coming of age movie.
Okay. Coming of age thing I can get behind. I don't think I laughed at all in that movie though.
Hall or Gus?
Gus.
Gus.
Let's see. I don't know what this says, but Dan is the type of guy who likes
baseballs didn't age well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen it in a while,
it's got to be someone who's never seen it before. That's the real test. If you go into it with bias that it's funny, then you're going to like it. It's going to remind you of your childhood subconsciously. But if you've never seen it before, I'm telling you, like, people aren't going to like it as much as you think they are. And I love that movie. It's one of my favorites.
I love when we get psychologist Adam on the show where he really gets deep there.
I've studied this many times. Rashawn Johnson, Jalen Warren, Dotson, or Gabe Davis. We need two of them.
Jamie, is there any world where you would say that the cookie part of an Oreo is better than the cream part?
No.
Right? Isn't that one of the stupidest takes ever? That's one of Adam's takes. And he's like, and then he planted someone when we went to the Giants game last year to tailgate. No, it was one person, really.
It was a group of four, and they all agreed that that was one of the coolest moments. Dan and I were just chatting at a tailgate, and these random people come up to us and are like, we love your show, and by the way, the cookie is the better part of the Oreo.
Yeah, it was a cool moment, but it was stunning, too. Like, I don't even understand how that could be a take. Like, it's the most driest paper-like cracker cookie out there on the market. Versus
the thing is, like, you'd get sick if all you did was eat the cream. It's just the cookie is the more vital part, you know? The cream is just... All right. Anyway, pick two of this group here. Rashawn Johnson, Jaylen Warren, Dotson, or Gabe Davis?
Warren and Davis.
Davis.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a gamble here. Davis and Rashawn.
This might be the changing of the guard. If
that's what I'm thinking.
Najee Harris does not... No, I'm thinking the Steelers.
Oh, I was thinking of Chicago. I don't think
the Bears will take either. But the Steelers, like, if Najee cannot run against the Raiders, we may see mid-game Jaylen Warren.
Okay.
And then we get two victory laps next week. The Jaylen Warren victory lap and the Heath Andy Dalton victory lap. If Andy Dalton outscores Derek Carr this week, you're going to hear about it.
Ugh, like, yeah. 2-2 DJ Moore, Dotson, or Myers? Pick one.
DJ Moore for me.
Okay. All right, everybody. What did I say?
Dotson? No, Moore. I'm sorry. Moore.
Start one, sit one, cut one. Oreos, Nutter Butters, Malamars.
Start Oreos. Sit Nutter Butters, cut Malamars.
I'm going to go cut Nutter Butters, sit Malamars. I mean, honestly, Malamars are pushing. Oreos are so good, I can't put them in over Oreos, but I like Malamars.
These are all great. This is like we picked up Puka Nacua and you've got to sit Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, right.
But I'm with Dan here. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. And,
I agree with Dan. Look at that.
That's not the typical thing here. What is this, Gamer Eric? Gamer Eric, Jamie is right. You don't even know what you're talking about, Gamer Eric.
All right, later, folks.
Listen, you mess with the bull, you get the horns, buddy.
Right? Yeah, that's right. What a hilarious line, Breakfast Club. You've delivered so many memorable ones. That's honestly the funniest line in the entire movie, and it's not funny at all.
Probably not.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Sunday morning with an injury update on Fantasy Football.
So bad.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.